Charlie. Yeah, Madhava, Kundari, Hari. Radha Madhava Kundali Hari. Isi Radha Madhava ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Radha Damodar ki jai, Hari Hari Bol. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Namane. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvisesa Sannivari Pachyasi.
Yes.
Yeah, it's too high. I don't. 10:45. Vanchakalpatrubhyascha kripasindubhyevacha paditanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Ukam karuti vachanam pangulangayate girim yakripa tamaham vande siguru dinatharinam. What I am going to attempt to do in the next 43 minutes is help us go deeper into the Leela of Damodar and Yashoda, and specifically deeper into our understanding of how much Krishna loves to be treated with deep affection, not as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but as a son of Yashoda or a friend. And I'm going to attempt to do something that I never usually do. I usually bring notes and never use them, but there's so much nectar in, and I didn't want to forget, so I'm actually going to use my notes. This could be the first time, but it'll be worth it. I want to discuss the Leela of Krishna eating dirt and Yashoda seeing the universe within Krishna's mouth. Actually, she saw it in Krishna's belly. The universe was in his belly, and she saw through the mouth into the belly. And use this as a example or a bridge into this Leela. So, we all know the story. Balaram and his friends complain to Yashoda that Krishna is eating dirt. And what did Krishna say? Krishna said, they're all lying. Who is lying, Krishna or his friends? So Krishna was lying. His friends saw him eating dirt. And the acharyas have given three reasons why Krishna is eating dirt. If you ever wondered about this pastime, obviously he's not hungry. So why was Krishna eating dirt? Of course, he did it as Mahaprabhu. Why was he doing it in this instance? Well, reason number one. When Krishna came to this earth, he came for two reasons, as we know. He stayed in Bhagavad Gita, Paritranaya Sadhunam, to bless the sadhus, and Vinashaya Chadushkritam, to annihilate the miscreants, or to save earth. So for the first 5 years, all Krishna did mostly was just play with his friends. He was neglecting his duty to save the earth. And so he wanted to begin that process. He wanted to confirm with the earth planet that I haven't forgotten He wanted to take the first step, so he ate dirt. That was the, like, you know, the journey begins with the first step, and you have a big job and you can't do the whole thing, at least you do something. So that was the beginning. Oh yeah, I have to do this business also. So he ate dirt. That's reason number one. Reason number two. Krishna drank the poison of Putana. And it said that dirt is also a poison, but poison counteracts poison. So Krishna ate the dirt to counteract the poison of Putana's poison. And the third reason, which is why I have my notes, because, this is a great reason. Krishna, as we just said, Krishna said, no, I didn't steal dirt. And we know Krishna always lies, right? So it is said in Shastra, when you lie, you should do achman to purify yourself. So you may want to carry some water if you lie a lot. But I think there's statistics like people, like we lie like, you know, 500 times a week or something, you know, some crazy thing. And kids are like five times worse. Anyway, so mud is also an achman. So because Krishna lies a lot, he ate mud to purify himself. That's his achman. Hare Krishna. Okay, so now, this Leela with Yashoda is interesting because in this Leela, you see Krishna's Aishwarya, his opulence. Like the prayer begins, Nama Isharam Sachirananda Rupam. But the whole rest of the Leela is all about Yashoda and Krishna and no opulence. Right? It's just this little boy. So, in this prayer, it begins Namam Ishram. We're going to establish that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's good that we establish Him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because then we'll see where there's love, He doesn't want to be treated as the Supreme Lord. So therefore, it's just made clear, here is the Supreme Lord, but He's not going to exhibit any of that Supreme quality, because Yashoda's love causes him to cover it up. Okay. Yes. So now the acharyas say, some of this is out of order. Anyway, so the acharyas say that, you might say, why does Krishna lie? He lies a lot. And then you could ask, well, why does Krishna do anything? And so the acharyas say, the impetus for Krishna's lying is prema. So this Leela began with Krishna lying, and it just kept going from his lies. So anything that Krishna does, it's motivated by prema. So it's motivated to give his devotees, to please his devotees and to expand the prema of his devotees and expand his own prema. So the acharya is saying, there's no fault in Krishna's lying because its purpose is to increase prema. Which is, of course, whatever Krishna does. It's for that. Yes. So Yashoda says, okay, you said you didn't eat dirt, so open your mouth, I want to see. And so what happens? She looks in. She sees the entire universe. She sees all the devatas. She sees time, karma, all of jivas. What else does she see? Hold on. The gunas. And the complete illusion was removed. So she was no longer thinking Krishna was her son. What happened was Krishna has an energy, it's called Aishwarya, and that Aishwarya energy came and overtook the whole situation. So when Yashoda, this is interesting, when Yashoda saw the universe, she became humble because she felt very small. Because the whole universe, now compared to the universe, were very tiny. So she became very humble. And so when we meditate on the grandeur of the universe, of nature, then it makes us humble. And then she began thinking, this is not my son, he's the supreme, I'm not the wife of Nanda. This home is not mine, these cows are not mine, none of this is mine. The illusion was completely dissolved. Okay, so there was a problem. Who can tell me what the problem is now? Krishna, when this was happening by Krishna's energy. Actually, all these energies are working. And there were energies working to prevent Yashoda from tying Krishna up. The different energies didn't want Krishna to be tied up. So now this energy, Aishwarya, is working, Yashoda sees it. So what's the problem? Who knows? What does Krishna start thinking? Yes. Yeah. So now there's this Aishwarya that Mother Yashoda sees, and Krishna's thinking, this has to go, because if it doesn't go, who's going to feed me? Who's going to kiss me? Who's going to hug me? So what we're seeing here in this Leela, we'll discuss more. It opens up so much of understanding Krishna's heart and his mood. Krishna was in anxiety at this point. You know, there's another pastime where Krishna was crying. Not another pastime. Later in the Leela, when Yashoda is tying Krishna up, he's crying. And so, how much water comes out of Krishna's eyes when he cries? Because, you know, all the water of the universe is within him. It said, you know what it said? That in one hair pour of Lord Bor, the water of the universe is contained. Wow. So Krishna's crying and puddles of water are building up. And if Mother Yashoda sees that, then she's going to understand Krishna is not an ordinary boy. And again, if she understands the supremacy of Krishna, it puts Krishna in anxiety. And Yogamaya understands Krishna's mind, so Yogamaya then acts according to Krishna's desire. So who knows what Yogamaya did when Krishna was thinking, this is not good, there's a whole puddle of water. When normal people cry, they don't cry puddles. So what did Yogamaya do? Anybody know? She came with those, what do you call those, UVACs? You know, and there are floods. No, she didn't have a vacuum, but she immediately cleared the water so that Yashoda wouldn't know. So this is an anxiety on part of Krishna, because he relishes rasa so much that he's in anxiety if anything, he relishes love so much, he's in anxiety if anything would get in the way of that love. And what would get in the way of that love? That you know that Krishna is the supreme. He knows you know, and he doesn't want you to know. And there's some funny stories I'm going to tell about this. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. So, Yashoda now is thinking, okay, my son, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is not working. And then she saw that, but my son, he couldn't be the Supreme because he's hungry and he's tired. And so Krishna arranged that this illusory energy that she was under would be removed. And he also arranged that never again would she ever remember this Leela. Because if she forgets this Leela now, everything's good. But if she remembers later, what happens? Then she goes back thinking, my son is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So after this Leela happened, and Yogamaya again reinstated everything, Jasoda never ever remembered this Leela. Never remembered that puddle of water. She didn't even see it. It was completely forgotten. So this way, the relationship of affection, this intense affection that Jasoda has for Krishna, is maintained. In fact, I don't know if you know this. I mean, you know that the love of Radharani, the Mahabhava of Radharani, is unique to Radharani. But in the commentaries, it is explained that Jasoda's love is equal to the love of Radha. Did you know that? Yeah. Yes. It's very special. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Oh yeah. So here's another beautiful thought. So now, what is Krishna trying to teach? Krishna's trying to teach the most powerful thing in the universe, the thing that can conquer him, is not power, is not knowledge, but it's love. So, in Vrindavan, there are no symbols of power. No lions, no elephants, no military. That's all outside of Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, what is in Vrindavan? Cows and peacocks and forests. All things which represent the beauty and the love and affection, not power. So, ultimately, the illusion that Jasoda was in was dissipated, ultimately, by her love. And that love, as we will read and see, completely controls Krishna. Yes. Okay. So here are some examples. And some really beautiful examples. So, all the yogis, all the sages, they're running after Krishna's feet. Right? Everyone is aspiring for Krishna's feet. And whose feet is Krishna running after? The cows. So, in other words, the devotees, of course, sometimes Radharani's feet also, but the devotees control Krishna, they're defeating Krishna. So we have this example of Sridham. Every day, Sridham would fight with Krishna. They would wrestle every day. And who would win? Who knows? Sridham would win, right? So there's a funny story. This is really funny. So, after Krishna killed Kamsa, Krishna was standing at 1 foot on Kamsa, right? You know? And Sridham went up to him and said, you cannot be the real Krishna, because this Kamsa, he's really strong. And every day I wrestle with Krishna, and I'm not strong enough to kill Kamsa, so you must be an imposter. So Krishna said, no, I'm the real thing. Sridhama said, okay, if you're the real thing, we have to go fight. So they went out in this same arena that Krishna fought Mustika and Chanura, and Sridham and Krishna fought after Krishna killed Kamsa with that hard blow, right? Who do you think won? Sridham. Krishna, where is the power? The power is in love. Love controls Krishna. Krishna wants to be controlled. Now, this gets really funny here. I don't know if the ladies, if you know this. I'm sure all the guys know this, but it's called trash talk. Before people fight, like, I don't know, a week before or something, they meet together and they have some publicity, they get weighed, because you're in categories, you have to be in a certain weight, between this weight and that weight. So they come in, they have I guess it's a press conference, right? Isn't it? Yeah. And sometimes they trash talk. They say, like, you know, you're an idiot, you're ugly, you couldn't beat up a fly, you know, you'll be lucky if you get out of this fight alive. And then when they go into the arena, they look at one another with, like, really dirty faces, because they try to psych one another out. And sometimes the fighters get psyched out. They just look at them like, you know, you're trash, you're dead. So this was happening with Krishna and Sudama. They were trash talking. You know, you want to hear what they said? This is so funny. Okay. This is so beautiful, because now Krishna's telling Sudama, we're going to fight. His trash talk is, you can't beat me because I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what is this Leela doing? Krishna's trying to demonstrate and show his friends that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what what do you think they say? So Krishna says, I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How do you think Putana was killed? How do you think Agasura was killed? How do you think Govardhan was lifted? That's because I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And all the boys just started cracking up. I said, you, the Supreme Person, what are you talking about? And it's like, hey, you killed Putana. That was your mother. Your mother was praying that Putana would die. Agasura, we were all the coward boys, we're in Agasura. We did all the work. You came in at the end and you got you're giving yourself credit. And Govardhan, what are you talking about? The Rajbasis fed Govardhan so much that Govardhan became so happy, he became light as a feather and he just floated up. And it looked like you were holding him up. You weren't holding him up. So what's going on here? Even if Krishna wants to demonstrate that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even if he wants to convince his friends, Yogamaya potency will never allow it. And Krishna has fun, and Krishna's happy that they won't allow it. Hare Krishna. Yes. Okay. Sometimes we've heard that Mother Yasoda's chastisement of Krishna is more pleasing to Krishna than all the hymns of the Vedas, right? So what is pleasing to Krishna more than all the ghee that's ever been offered since the beginning of the universe and all those sacrifices? What's more important to Krishna? It's the milk of Mother Yasoda. That will satisfy him more than anything, right? And so Krishna, his mother's feeding him, and she gets up because the milk is boiling over. And Krishna becomes really upset. And he's thinking, I left the milk ocean. I had like all the milk that anyone could ever want. And I came here, and now you won't give me your milk. So Krishna became very angry. And where was that anger coming from? What was that anger generated by? By his love for Yasoda. So this glorifies Yasoda, Yasoda's milk. All this Leela is glorifying Yasoda's love. that Krishna would leave the ocean of milk and become angry. He just wants her milk. And also it is said that Devaki, Drona and Dara, you know, they wanted to be the mother and father of Krishna, so they became Devaki and Vasudev, but they never got to raise Krishna as a child. Although they entered the body of, later, the body of Yasoda. But it's also said that this glorifies the love of Yasoda, because only she got to do that. They didn't get to, despite all their prayers and austerities, her love is the greatest, so she got to raise Krishna. So here's a verse. We have, can you put that verse up? 10:8:45. This verse is interesting. I just found out something about this verse today. I think it's quite interesting. Before I read the verse, I want to explain why this verse is interesting. Just now coming. So this is from the chapter of Krishna seeing the universal form. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, this verse is the Paribhasa Sutra of Krishna Lila. Paribhasa Sutra means the verse which is foundational to the understanding of Krishna Lila. This is the verse. Like Nectar of Devotion, you know the Paribhasa Sutra, Anyabhilashita Shunyam, and Bhagavatam, Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. Everything is, everything flows around, all the Siddhanta, all the understanding is based on that verse. The Leela is based on this verse, and I will read it. The glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are studied through the three Vedas, the Upanishads, the literature of Sankhya Yoga, and other Vaishnava literature. Yet Mother Yasoda, consider that Supreme Person her ordinary child. So this is considered the glory of the Leela, that no matter what Krishna manifests, that no matter what the Brajbasis hear about Krishna, he's just our friend, he's just our child. And that intensifies love, and that's what makes Krishna so happy. Anyway, I will end there. That's what I had. But I think there's one other thing. Becomes evident in this story. Yasoda is trying to bind Krishna the whole day. And something I found out today that I didn't know, Krishna has 16 energies, and 15 of those energies did not want Krishna to be bound. One of those energies was fame. If, you know, Krishna gets bound, that doesn't look good, right? And Krishna is conquered by his mother. You know, he can't be conquered. And there was one energy that disagreed, and one energy that reigned supreme. Who could guess what that energy was? Well, it was a Kripa Shakti, yeah. In other words, all these energies wanted Krishna to maintain his position of not being conquered, not letting Yasoda conquer, but the Kripa Shakti, the Shakti of mercy, said no. And so, what's so interesting about this is, as we know, Yasoda spent the whole day and she couldn't do it, no matter how much rope she had. Krishna was actually waiting for Radharani to come to be bound up. Did you know that? Yeah. When Krishna was in the hoods of Kaliya, he was in the hoods a long time. And everybody in Vrindavan heard about it, they all came. And even the kids that didn't know how to walk, walked there. And all the old, infirm people who couldn't walk, they also walked there or ran there. But Krishna didn't want to get free from the grips of Kaliya until Radha came. So he had to wait for a long time because she lived in Vrindavan. You know, the news had to get to her and then she had to come. So he waited, and when Radha came, then he did his dance. He wanted to please her, show. It's the same thing in this Leela. He refused to be bound up until Radha came. And then Radha came, and then she took out a ribbon from her hair and said, Jasoda, try this. And then, okay, I can be bound. So the beauty of this story is that we're not qualified to be Krishna conscious, but if Krishna decides to give us mercy, then the little hair tie can bind him up. And otherwise, the best efforts, it's not going to work. And but what's interesting also is there's a statement by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and he said that without making earnest efforts, we will not be able to attract Krishna's mercy. So someone might think mercy is a gift, and it is a gift, but at the same time, you have to earn the mercy by your effort. And then you make effort, effort, effort. So don't ever give up, because sometimes we make effort and then we give up because we don't see the result. You ever feel like that? It's like, I've tried so hard. You know? And Krishna's watching you, thinking, okay, you know, it's not easy. You're going to give up? What are you going to do? Prabhupada said once that Krishna took everything away from me and he wanted to see what I would do. We know when Prabhupada had nothing. Even, I don't know if you know this, that sometimes when Prabhupada first came to New York, he was going to bed hungry. He didn't actually have enough food at one point. And then we know Krishna gave Prabhupada everything. So Prabhupada said, Krishna wanted to see what I would do when I had nothing. So, you work, you make the effort, you work, and then, you ever have this experience? And then one day, bing, you get some like realization that is like, I don't deserve that. That's way beyond my pay level realization. You ever have one of those realizations beyond your pay level? And it's like Krishna's saying, yeah, mercy time. You are now going to understand something you are incompetent, incapable of understanding in your present state. Or even just the ability to relish the holy name, to relish Leela, to relish Kirtan. All of that is a sign of Krishna rewarding us for our effort. You know those days when you're chanting and the harder you try, the worse it gets? You ever had one of those? Yeah. And you know those days where all of a sudden it's like mercy, like I can't stop chanting, I don't know what happened, you know, it's just like, it's like, you know, my favorite ice cream on my tongue. And sometimes we foolishly think Krishna's not giving us mercy, you know, like every time that happens, mercy. Every realization, mercy. Every smile on your face from a kirtan, from a class, it's all mercy. It's all Krishna responding to our effort. But sometimes he holds it back. He just wants to see. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, mercy comes through earnest effort. But then the second part of the statement is quite interesting. And then he said, unless we get mercy, it's virtually impossible to make advancement. So we can't make advancement based on our effort. We can only make advancement based on mercy, but if we don't make effort, we don't get mercy. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, offenseless chanting means making the effort to chant without offense. If I say, tomorrow morning I will chant without offense, I might get very disappointed. But if I say, tomorrow morning I will make the effort to chant without offense, I can do that. I can make the effort, right? I may not get the result. Maybe I will make offense, but I can make the effort not to. I can't always control the result. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is not saying offenseless chanting means chanting without committing offenses. He said it's chanting with the endeavor to avoid the offenses. That's offenseless chanting. That's good news, isn't it? You don't have to go home and cry anymore after a bad day of japa. Of course, if we make the effort, then the mercy will come. But that's how we attract the mercy. But it's the mercy with which we make advancement. So Prabhupada gives the example, mercy is like you fall into a well, you throw the rope down, you grab onto the rope, the spiritual master pulls you up. That's mercy. So, at least this is my realization, that every ounce of happiness we've ever experienced in Krishna consciousness is a sign of Krishna's mercy, because without it, we could not experience that. It's actually a sign of Radha's mercy, because she's Ladini Shakti. So it's really her mercy. We have to have mercy to experience happiness in bhakti. It's a fact. We have to have mercy to understand anything. We have to have mercy to be able to follow the principles. So actually we're getting so much mercy, but sometimes we don't recognize it. Just the fact that you are here right now, you could be anywhere. This is mercy, isn't it? We've got some mercy to be here. Somehow or other, you know, people, they ask me, speak about Prabhupada, and I say, all I want to say is, I met Prabhupada, and I never ran away from him. That was the smartest thing I ever did. And any good quality you see in me is because I never ran away. That's mercy, isn't it? We're all here, we didn't run away. We try sometimes, but we come back. That's mercy. That means some effort, some sincerity is there. So this Leela, it's so beautiful because it personifies this Jasoda's effort. And one of the acharyas says, Krishna saw Jasoda sweating. She was tired. She'd been working all day to tie him up. So there's another reason, aside from Radharani coming, another reason Krishna thought, she's trying so hard. I have to show mercy. And in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, when Gop Kumar meets Krishna, Krishna says something very beautiful to him, which is so encouraging. Krishna said, I was aware of all the austerity you went through. I know everything you had to go through to get back here. So Krishna is not ungrateful. He knows everything. And he's waiting to just give us more and more mercy. One time, one of my godbrothers wrote Prabhupada, and he asked, why doesn't Krishna just give love right away? Like, why all this hard work? Well, that would be easier, right? Like, it's taking so long, you know? You ever think, like, why did it take so long for kids to grow up? You know, it's like, wouldn't it be easier if, like, day two, they were 22 and had a job? You know? So it's like, wouldn't it be easier, like, you get out of the bhakti program and you're a pure devotee, and like, why all this other work? Do you ever think like that? And then you start thinking, is it even going to happen in this life? So Prabhupada said, Krishna cannot give you love before you're qualified. Like, you know, your container has to hold it. So you have to be able to hold it. So Krishna's waiting. It's not like he doesn't want to give it to you. It's not like he's holding back mercy. He just needs us to be capable, to have a jar big enough to hold it, and a jar that's strong enough that won't explode when the mercy goes in. Otherwise, he gives you the mercy, and then you think, hey, I'm the best devotee, look at me. Have you ever thought like that before? You did something like, you know, one day, you know, a brick fell off your roof, knocked you in the head, and you got up at 2 o'clock and you couldn't go back to sleep, and you're like, I got at 2 o'clock this morning, I'm the best devotee in Alatra. Never felt like that before? Hare Krishna. So, that could happen if Krishna gives mercy too quickly, it could go to our head. So, we're putting in effort, and Krishna's saying, yes, I want to give mercy, and Krishna's looking, however you're qualified, whatever you're capable of, whatever it is you desire, I'm ready to give that to you. If you're ready to use it. So that's the process. It all happens by mercy, but it all happens by effort. That's the That's one of the themes of this Leela, or the, another theme, yes, Hare Krishna. So, thank you for listening. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Yes, we have a microphone.
I can speak loud.
Okay.
Can you please tell me where I can find that just so I can really rest my mind? If I just try, then that's pleasing enough.
Where can you find that?
Bhaktisiddhanta says that, you said that if we just try to chant offensively, then that's...
You know, there's a book with all his... I mean, I teach that in my japa course. I'm not sure where I found it. There's a book with all his quotes, which is probably there. Why don't you... the effort is something like... Offenseless chanting is the effort to avoid the offenses while you chant. Why don't you Google that, and if you can't find it, just send me a message, and I'll give you the exact quote. Govinda has a question.
Thank you for your class. I was just wondering, at this point you're mentioning we have to qualify for Krishna's mercy, basically. So I was just wondering, to qualify for Krishna's mercy means like patient endeavor, like constant patient endeavor.
Following the orders of Srila Prabhupada, patiently, constantly endeavor, don't give up, no matter what. I have a saying, I've seen devotees not follow Prabhupada's instructions in the name of being intelligent. So I don't think I'm intelligent enough to disobey. At least I hope I'm not. So if we stick to those instructions, you know, basic instructions Prabhupada gave, particularly chanting without offense, particularly being humble, I mean, these two things are huge. There's so many problems that we face because we make offenses to the Holy Name and we make offenses to Vaishnavas. That's my realization. And I'm ready to bet all the money in my bank that those, if we solve those two problems, pretty much you've solved every problem. And your advancement will be very quick and your realizations will be very deep. If we can actually... You know, because if we become humble, the day we become humble, that day we will stop criticizing. And we will only appreciate and glorify Vaishnava. And that's the day when Mahaprabhu says, Kirtaniya Sadhari, then you can chant constantly. And you cannot chant constantly if you're making offense. So ultimately he's saying, that day you become humble, you'll stop offending Vaishnavas, you'll glorify Vaishnavas, that day you will get a taste for the Holy Name. That day you will be able to chant without offense. And that day, that's a good day. And when that happens, everything becomes easy. But if we make offense to Vaishnavas and the Holy Name, we're just running into a wall. And then, as a result of that, so many anarthas come up. The desire for wealth, the desire for fame, the desire for liberation. All these desires, Prabhupada says, are byproducts of Namaparad. You know, I was thinking the other day, this is kind of dangerous. Because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says, if you commit offense to the Holy Name, you're watering the weeds. It's like, okay, so now what do? I'm chanting and I'm committing offense. Do I stop chanting? Because I'm watering the weeds. Like, anyway, obviously no, but we chant with remorse for committing offense, and we try to correct ourselves.
So is this an appropriate prayer, you know, during japa, please qualify me for your mercy?
Yes. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur also said you can chant in remorse for having committed offense to the Holy Name. Please forgive me. The thing is, when you're chanting, you're communicating your desires with Krishna. So I always ask devotees, what are you communicating? Like, what is it that you're asking for? Are you asking to get your rounds done? Krishna's there, you can ask anything. What are you asking? So you're communicating not with your tongue, but with your heart. So if you communicate pure, if you communicate strongly and purely and sincerely, good things will come from that, because Krishna wants to give you what you want. I mean, just meditate on this. It's so amazing. Krishna wants to give us what we want. Oh my God. And now ask yourself, what do you want? Pakoras and halava, Prabhu. And a nice soft bed. Yeah. Okay, then Krishna says, okay. Nothing wrong with pakoras and halava, but you know what I'm saying. Krishna's willing to give you what you want, so what are you asking for? I mean, that's just a very simple but powerful question. And when you're chanting your rounds, ask yourself, what am I asking for? You know, what's going on inside my heart, my mind? What am I thinking? And Krishna will get, you want to be humble, you want to be offenseless, Krishna will help you. If you don't, he'll help you not. I mean, you know, one sense you could say, any problem we're facing means, if the problem is blocking our bhakti, it means, I guess I don't care enough about that problem. Because if I did, Krishna would help me. It's not that a problem will go away, but just like when Prabhupada gave young men sannyas, he said, do not think that now that you're taking sannyas, your desires, material desires, will go away. He said, but now you can no longer act on them. So that's the empowerment, right? Well, I will not act on them any longer. Krishna, I want to be pure. It doesn't mean impure desires will go. But Krishna will help you, so you have the strength not to give in to those desires. He will, if you want it. And if you're giving in, then you have to ask yourself the question, am I desiring it strongly enough? Or am I desiring something else that Krishna is reciprocating with? You know, it takes a bit of honesty to ask those questions and to listen for the answers. But I think if we're honest, then if we're being directed towards anything that's not pure, then we can think, yeah, that's because I want it. Right? That's Hare Krishna.
Yes. Prabhu, Hare Krishna. Very nice class. Very nice class.
Thank you.
I've gotten a lot out of it, and you're not even using notes. I don't. It's magnificent. I had one question about Lord Krishna's activities. Is the way with way he works with devotees, like Mother Yashoda and overwhelming her with the, you know, the Virat Rupa, and then like with Rukmini and Dwarkadish, where she was overwhelmed by Krishna's disqualifying himself, you know. As some parts, are we not all being victims of Krishna's desires in certain aspects? Or kind of quandary here.
We're victims of our own desires. And whatever you want, Krishna will give you. Whatever rasa you want, Krishna will give you. Some man said to Prabhupada, why don't you worship the Virata Rupa? Prabhupada said, how will you feed him and how will you dress him? And which, how will you bow down? Arjuna bowed down from all sides. Front, back, left, right. But some people, that's what they want. So Prabhupada's telling us what you should want this. You should want Braj. Maybe that's not our rasa. Maybe there's some, we have some other rasa that may be there. But whatever it is, Krishna will give that to you. You know, I always say that to say that Maya is strong is incorrect. Because Maya will never come to someone who doesn't want Maya. And Krishna does not come to those who don't want him. So you want Krishna, he comes. And you want Maya, she comes. So I always say, put a sign on your door of your house, Maya is not allowed here. Maya is not welcome. Because if you don't have that sign, then you might invite her in. And you can say, Maya, what are you doing here? And what's she going to say? She'll say, well, you invited me. Because she doesn't come without, you know, Prabhupada said, Maya is always peeping on you. She's always around peeping on you, waiting to see if you're going to invite her. So if we understand that, then we're the only ones to blame. It's not like Maya. Maya's so strong. Well, Krishna, why did you create Maya? The answer is because you wanted it. There is no other answer. Every material desire we have, it's because we want it. If we didn't want it, it wouldn't be there. Right? So we have to, you know, look at it that way. And always understand Krishna will reciprocate with whatever that desire is. Which is so good and so bad, depending on what you desire. Right? Last question. I guess. He'll turn it on for you.
So, talking about the efforts, I was thinking, what point we know that now we should give up?
At what point do we know? What?
How do we know that now we should give up? If you're
You can't. Giving up is a byproduct of your devotion. You can't give up what you can't give up. And you'll be able to give up naturally according to your advancement. If you try to give up too much too fast, you crash. The key word is sustainability. What can you sustain? The level of renunciation you can sustain. And then you can gradually increase. But it has to be a byproduct of your bhakti. It has to be natural. Otherwise, like a rubber band. You'll pull, 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 and you can only hold it so long.
And my other question was, Balram complained about to Mother Yasoda when Krishna ate dirt. So I was thinking, what was Balram doing when Mother Yasoda was trying to tie Krishna? Is there anywhere mentioned what was Balram doing that time?
I know what the cowherd boys were doing. They were having fun. I'm not sure. Does anybody know? I can't remember what if Balaram was there, what he was doing. Cowherd boys were all around watching. They were laughing because they knew, you know, they saw Krishna knock over Madhukuvar and Manigriva, and nobody believed it. And the boys were like, "Yeah, he did it. We saw it." You know, they were just, you know, they've all got their place. I forget Balaram's place. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sisi Radha Sham Sundar ki jai. Gopinanandi Hari Hari Bol. Hare Krishna.